I'll start that again for the benefit of our online audience. Translation, the seven elements of the body, namely the thin layer on the skin itself, the flesh, blood, fat, marrow and bone are all made of earth, water and fire, whereas the life breath is produced by the sky, water and air. Purport, the construction of the whole material world is prominently made by three elements, namely earth, water and fire. But the living force is produced by sky, air and water. So water is the common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. And it should be noted herewith that due to necessity, water being most prominent in the material creation is the principal element of all the five. This material body is thus an embodiment of the five elements, and the gross manifestation is perceived because of three, namely earth, water and fire. Sensations of touch are perceived due to the thin layer on the skin, and bone is as good as hard stone. The breathing air of life is produced of sky, air and water. And therefore open air, regular bath and ample space in which to live are favourable for healthy vitality. Fresh produce from the earth like grains and vegetables as well as fresh water and heat is good for the upkeep of the gross body. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gunanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadaha Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Muktam karoti vachalam pangum langayate garim yat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinatarinam. So, what to make of all of this? So, to make some sense of this, the material body is made or is an embodiment of the five elements. What are the five elements? Somebody say loudly and clearly. Yes, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Now, it's interesting here, Prabhupada says the construction of the whole material world is prominently made by three elements, namely earth, water, and fire. So, the meaning of this is that, and he explains here that earth, water, and fire are the gross elements, right? But the living force, now in this case, Prabhupada says living force. Now, we often understand living force as being the living entity. Right? The Jivatma as the living force. If the Jivatma's gone from the body, then what have we got? We've got a dead body. But in this particular case, Prabhupada is using living force in terms of prana. And here, the word prana has is used here in this context as breathing air, prana. But prana means there are a number of different types of prana, and the prana is the what shall we say? Is the energy? It's when we say it's the living force. It's the the energy or the power that moves the body, that makes the body move. I was looking in the Bhagavatam last night and looking at the meanings of the word prana, in one case it means the it's described as being the heart and the mind. Huh? In other cases, there are different types of prana that make the digestion flow. The you know, our arms go up and down. It's the moving force within the body, and that is a subtle force. It's the subtle forces of the body, which includes the mind and the other actions of the body that moves the blood around the body, that moves the digestive system, that moves the air. You know, when we breathe, air goes in, breathe out, air goes out. So in this case, this is what this refers to, living force, not the spirit soul. Of course, the spirit soul makes everything go, right? But the material body is basically made up of dull, inert elements, and the gross elements of the body are basically made up of earth, water, and fire. And of course, this earth, water, and fire is what we can perceive. It's called gross because it's what we can perceive with our senses. We can't see the air moving when we breathe in and out. We can't see the forces within the body that are making it move. We see it move, but we don't see the forces. Or it's shall we say, it's harder to perceive. We can perceive these energies that are at work within the body because of the movement of the gross senses themselves, of the gross elements themselves, but it's not... you know, if you look at a, well, it's not possible, but if you're able to look at a nerves in your body working, you can't see the flow of the impulse of electrons flowing through the body, or that as we that's how we describe it in material science. So there's the gross elements of the material creation, and then there are the subtle elements, just like you can't see the wind blowing, but you can see it impacting, you know, the leaves on the trees are all fluttering around. You can't actually see the wind itself. So you've got this gross, which is perceivable by the senses, and then the very subtle, which is perceived by the results that it produces, but it can't be actually seen itself. You know, yeah, the life airs. You know, when you burp, pass gas, don't see it. We can smell it, but you can't see it. So, but it's interesting here. So, water is the common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. So that's interesting, but we know, you know, we can see water. I've got a cup of water here, and I can see it. But it mentioned here that water is also within the subtle elements, and we know that also because water evaporates, right? And so there's water within even the subtle elements in the air. We're able to measure the water in the air. What do we call it?
Moisture.
Yeah. What else do we call it? Humidity. You know, because not much humidity on a day like today. But, you know, in hot weather, when it's very muggy, what we call muggy, right, we can perceive it. You can't see it, but you can perceive that it's stifling. Because there's so much water, you can't cool yourself off by perspiring. And there's another instance of water, you know, working in a subtle way. You perspire and the water manifests on the outside of your body, and then when the wind blows, just like in the summertime we have the fans on, because when the wind blows, then the water evaporates and goes into the subtle form of water, and then we cool off. Right? So, very interesting that Prabhupada makes this point. Water is the common element in both gross and subtle forms of all material creation, and Prabhupada says it should be noted herewith, so this is an important point, that due to necessity, so it's absolutely required, right? Water, being most prominent in the material creation, is the principal element of all the five. Right? Water is the principal element of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, or space. Right? Ether is space. Water is the common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. Now, it's interesting to note, because this is all kind of a little, what shall we say, esoteric. But very interesting. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an interesting explanation. I was looking at his commentary as well, trying to make sense of this purport, how it all fits together. And he says that actually, Prabhupada says here, the construction of the whole material world is prominently made by three elements, but actually the whole material world is made of five elements, right? And the five elements are mentioned here. And as Gana pointed out, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But he says that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the air and sky are left out of this description because air and sky don't nourish the body. Right? Air and sky, like if you didn't eat or if you don't drink water, then you could breathe air, but you'll die. Right? Know that? You can't sustain yourself on air and ether. Makes sense. In fact, if you don't eat, interesting, water is the most prominent. If you don't eat, right, don't eat any solids. And I don't suggest you try this, but you can survive only for a short time. And if you don't take water, you'll die very quickly. But if you take water, you can live for a long time. Right? Then what the body does, it starts, basically what happens, when you don't eat and only take water, then your body starts to consume itself. Right? It starts to break down the fats into glucose. Then it starts breaking down the protein in your body into glucose, because basically the body runs on sugar, right? And when we digest food, then if your body is functioning properly, then all of the carbohydrates that we eat are converted into sugar that's stored within the body, into glucose, and is stored in different places within the body. The liver, especially, produces sugar for us by breaking down fats. Anyway, just an interesting... It supports what Prabhupada says here, that water is the most prominent in the material creation, right? Without water, then what happens? Nothing survives. Nothing survives without water.
Air and water.
Air and water. Well, water is the most important. As it says here, it should be noted herewith, due to necessity, water, being most prominent in the material creation, is the principal element of all the five. So principal means the main, the most important. And then Prabhupada says that this material body is thus an embodiment of the five elements. Right? What we call the gross elements. Although there is a distinction here between subtle and gross, and that is in terms of air and ether are considered subtle. But in other descriptions in the Bhagavad Gita, the gross elements are these five, and the subtle elements are described as being the mind and intelligence and false ego. Right? So the gross manifestation is perceived because of three, namely earth, water and fire. They're the ones that we can see with our gross material senses. Sensations of touch are perceived due to the thin layer on the skin. And bone is as good as hard stone. Right? So bones have no sensation. What's an example of that that we can experience?
A karma?
No. Huh? Sleep. No. Where have we got bone on our body? Well, it's like bone. It's fingernails. Teeth. Well, no, teeth have sense. That's very interesting. You know, teeth actually have sense. Get a sore tooth. Get a toothache. Ooh, you'll know about it. Right? Because there's nerves in the teeth. Teeth are very interesting things, aren't they? Right, we get two sets of teeth. When we're young, we get a set of teeth. They grow, then they fall out. Right? Then they grow back again. That's why teeth is called dvija. Right? Like a brahmana. Twice born. Right? Dvija. Twice born. Now, I don't know if anybody can explain the evolutionary process of creating teeth. Right? Interesting. But anyway, we won't go with it. But the fingernails. Right? If you let your fingernails grow out and then you cut them, you don't feel anything. Because, you know, don't let them grow and try and cut them and you'll know about it. Whoa, it'll hurt. Right? This is renunciation. One should be thoroughly detached from things before giving them up. Otherwise, if we try to renounce things that we're still attached to, then it'll be very painful. Right? This is the example that we can learn from our fingernails. Right? The material energy is our guru. Right? So we should know that if we want to give something, we make sure that when we trim our fingernails, that they're long enough that we're detached from them, right? So we can cut them. And we don't feel anything. So in that sense, we can understand, or this is an example, you know, sensations of touch, we can feel it we can even feel the wind, actually, with our sense of touch. Even though we can't see it, this is why it's understood to be an element of the gross creation, is because we can, that's in terms of the five material elements and then the three subtle elements of material energy. So anyway, the breathing air of life is produced of sky, air and water. Interesting, the last statements by Prabhupada are interesting. Well, it's all interesting, but interesting what Prabhupada says here. The breathing air of life. In other words, you know, how from which we get invigorated or enlivened. Because even though Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that, you know, you can't be, your gross body is not nourished in terms of consumption, you know, eating, still we benefit from sky, air and water. And in this way, Prabhupada says, and therefore upon open air, regular bath, that's the water, and ample space, that's the sky, in which to live, are favourable for healthy vitality. Right? So it's interesting. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that these things don't nourish you, you know, the gross form in one sense, but they're essential for life. Right? Or for healthy life anyway. I can vouch for this. You know, the new house that we moved into has got more higher ceilings, more open space and more light. Right? So I feel healthier. You know, if you're living in a cave, it's kind of like, or living in a dungeon, how do you feel? You know, if you want to punish somebody, or in society when a person is punished, what do they do? What's the worst punishment that you can have? Huh?
Put in a jail.
Yeah. What kind of a jail? Huh? Dungeon, yeah, but what do they call it? What's when a prisoner is really a problem, what do they do with them? Solitary confinement. Put them in a small space. No light. Not much air. Right? What happens when you do that to a person for a long period of time? They go nuts. Go crazy. Mental health problems manifest. That's what happens when you're in a confined space, no air, no light, very unhealthy. Right? So it's important. Open air. That's why when you go down the farm, walk in the countryside, go down the beach even, breathe in the air, go for a walk, you know, you feel good, right? Sit in a confined space and eat, just recycle your own air, and you become dull. So we depend upon fresh air, a regular bath, right? Wake up in the morning. First thing we do is take a bath. So it's interesting, so we need water internally to survive, right? We also need water externally to survive, what do we call it? Freshen up, right? If you're feeling a bit low and a bit down and you want to pick yourself up, what's one way to do it? Hop in the shower, especially a cold one. That'll really get you going. Right? Especially in this weather. Melbourne water out of the tap is freezing. Well, it's not. I've had worse. Go down to Hobart and try a cold shower. Oof. It's like having a bucket of ice cubes poured on you. One time, the first time I went on Travelling Sankirtan with Pushpanjali, we went to Hobart, and we stayed in the Sandy Bay Caravan Park, and in the showers there, you could put 10 cents in the water heater and you could have a warm shower. But we were brahmacharis and, you know,
wow.
We weren't going to waste 10 cents on a shower. And but boy, it was cold. And Pushpanjali came back with pneumonia and spent the next 3 weeks lying in his sleeping bag. So, invigorating, but also too much of a good thing can be unhealthy. But too cold water, we have to be sensible. In fact, the devotees here used to have cold showers, and there was no shower head either. It was just this, just one pipe, right? So you had this, like a laser beam coming out here. And then I think Rameshwara, then Maharaj, came, visited Melbourne, and he told the devotees, you know, if you have cold showers, you're never going to make any devotees. And in fact, when I first started going to the temple in Adelaide, they were all cold showers, and I used to go home to have a bath because it was too cold. I used to go home. The devotees knew that. They knew, well, this guy's never going to join the ashram because he keeps on going home to have a hot shower. So then one morning at Mongolati, Janmijaya came in from a night out, prowling around, and he had this water heater dragging behind him, and it was a huge water heater. I think the other brahmacharis actually liked the idea of having a warm shower too. So they got a water heater so I could have take a warm bath at the temple. But anyway, regular bath, open air, regular bath, and ample space. You know, this is why cities like Hong Kong and you know, even in India, in all of these apartment buildings, you live in these tiny little apartments and you feel terrible. Or at least Australians feel terrible in them, right? Because we're used to having so much, we're used to walking around and having so much space. Right? And we enjoy it, but then when we're put in a confined place, we think, ooh, this is horrible. So, Prabhupada recommends it here. These are favourable for healthy vitality. So, some tips here for healthy living. Regular bath, open air, and some space to get out and walk around. Prabhupada himself would rise early, take a bath, then go for a walk in the morning. Right? That's how he kept his health together. Then, fresh produce from the earth. So that's for the subtle body. Right? That's for the subtle body, keeping one's demeanour in a healthy condition. Well, when you're feeling down, have a shower. Then you'll just feel better. But then here's for the gross body. Fresh produce from the earth, like grains and vegetables. Now, as well as fresh water, so water's required here. Right, for drinking, if you drink contaminated water, then you get sick, obviously. You know, this is why most of the dogs in India have got terrible skin conditions, right? You notice the dogs in India? You know, in Australia we think, oh, dog's life, we think, oh, that's pretty good. Just lie around all day, meals provided for you, right? Who wouldn't mind being born as a dog? Taken for a walk, somebody picks up your poo, right? We don't even get looked after like that, right? So being a dog's fine. But then when you go to India and you see a dog and you think, whoa, this is a dog's life, right? Mangy old mutt, skin, no hair on his skin, always in pain, right? Scratching himself. And it's basically because they drink bad water. You know, they just drink, you know, comes along and drinks up the water on the side of the road. Ooh, horrible. So fresh water, very important. And heat, right? Heat. Speaking of warm water, heat here, Prabhupada says, is good for the upkeep of the gross body. So we need these things, right? They may be material elements. And so therefore, in one sense, inessential, because the essential part of the body is the spirit soul. Without the spirit soul, then what have you got? You've just got some dull, inner... What did you want? Waiting for a command from you. Here I am at your command. So in one sense, the gross material elements, that's when we say gross material elements, that's the earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then the subtle elements. You know, they're inessential in the sense that the spirit soul is the essential ingredient that makes everything work properly. Without the presence of the soul within the body, then we've got an unworkable body. But the material elements are essential for the embodied, because without the working of the material body being in harmony or being in balance, you know, being healthy, then we're not able to concentrate on our spiritual progress. Very important. So we depend upon these things. And we need to take Prabhupada's advice here on some of these health tips, even in the Bhagavatam, because it says here, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Huh? So there's essential information in the Bhagavatam here, telling us how to lead a healthy life even in the material body, so that we can pursue not sense gratification, although sense gratification is also important, right? Sense gratification is also important, but of course for the devotees it's all done in a mood of service to Krishna, right? But being healthy is important for our spiritual life. We can't neglect it. And the older we get, the more critical it becomes to maintain the subtle and gross elements of the body in a balanced state, because it's easier for them to get out of balance as we get older. Right? What is that? I was reading yesterday? Old age is a humble victory in life, right? Old age is a humble victory, because you know you may get to old age, but everything's so creaky and tottering. What kind of a victory is that? Or you know, you're so old you can't even remember what day it is, right? This is what happens when you get old. So what's the benefit of getting old? But we need to make sure that these things are in balance and appropriately used so that we have a healthy life, so that we can serve Krishna, and in that way make a success of our so-called material existence. Not actually material existence, it's spiritual existence, because we take all of these so-called material ingredients, we know that ultimately it all belongs to Krishna. Isavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatam jagat. Right? Everything, animate or inanimate, gross or subtle, is ultimately Krishna's. Bhaktaram jagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Suridam sarva bhutanam. Krishna gives it all to us for our use, but ultimately that usage is in his service. In that way we become purified. And so to be effective in our spiritual activities, using the material energy, we take it and apply it appropriately, healthily, and that, you know, good health is using it all in Krishna's service. So, I think I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, very good. Good example. Yes, when Prabhupada was in America and he had his heart attack, he went to California because it was warmer than New York. But even then he decided to go back to India because in the heat of summer in Delhi, it's torture, actually, for anybody who hasn't lived in that kind of environment. But for Prabhupada, it was good for his health, heat. Generally, we're more healthy in summertime than we are in the wintertime. Wintertime, things are cold. And you've got to put some clothes on. Why do we put clothes on? Keep warm. Right? And you see kids, right? The kids will run around in the... Yesterday, Shyamachandra, was it? Son? What's Shyamachandra's son's name? Amrit. Yeah, Amrit. He's running around with a short sleeve shirt on and no shoes, no socks. I said, are you cold? I mean, doesn't even measure. Can't measure it. When you're young, you know, you run around with no... You don't mind getting socks wet. When you get older, you've got to put some clothes on. Keep warm. Anything else? Mahatmaji.
The five elements are Shuti, Jal, Pavak, Gagan, Samira.
Air. Well, that's a good point. Yes. But here he says that water is the prominent element. Yeah. Yes, that's a fact, actually. No air and... Yes, fair enough. Anything else? Okay. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.